Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Appears.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Brad.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Can you hear with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast?
Hey guys, welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast. I am your host, Sean, and with me is my co-host, Susie.
Howdy, howdy.
How's it going, Susie?
It's going pretty good. I ended my 7.5 year career at OSF in Peoria on Friday, so that was a pretty big thing. It still doesn't feel real, so still kind of, you know, not really dealing with that just yet until I go to my new job on Monday, which I'm going to be like, oh my God, but like it's a 4-minute drive and, you know, there's all sorts of awesome perks to it and everything. So this first week will be interesting because, you know, it'll be new orientation, all that other fun stuff. So, but yeah, I'm definitely excited. So it was definitely hard to leave all the people that I worked with and everything, but definitely looking forward to this new chapter. So.
Interesting. Yeah. I've changed jobs more than I probably should have in the last couple of years, and it still felt weird to leave pretty much everyone I left. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a strange feeling, and I mean, you know, I'm sure there's butterflies a little bit for going into someplace new, but
oh yeah,
sounds like a pretty good situation for you. So congrats.
Yeah, thank you. And then this weekend, we've actually got a pretty free weekend this weekend and next weekend. And then I think it starts getting a little busy for, you know, shockingly, the holidays. Because it's November.
Where'd that come from, right?
I don't know. Like, I'm still just, like, flabbergasted that it's November. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was just, like, June. And then now it's just like, oh, okay, we're here in November. We're almost at the end of the year. So, crazy
yeah.
How time is.
My oldest daughter is a senior in high school, and kept thinking, you know, oh, you know, she'll, okay, so she has her senior year, it'll be another year, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, we're halfway through her senior year already. She's going to be off at college before I know it, so I'm not sure if I'm prepared for that kind of thing, but we'll see how it goes.
Right.
I wish time would slow down a little bit, but
I know,
it is what
yeah.
it is.
Sometimes I'm glad when it goes fast, and then other times I'm just like, slow down a little. Like, I don't want it to be winter just yet.
I hear you.
So, but that actually, you know, kind of segues into our topic for today's show. So we don't have a host or a guest with us today. I mean, yeah, we are the hosts. Come on.
All good, all good. It would be a strange show with no host, but
right, yeah, it would be a little odd. Although, curious thought though, that would be interesting. Have some random person just try to run in the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anywho, so yes, so we figured, you know, we were gonna talk a little bit about, you know, wrapping up your kayak fishing season, because you know it is getting on to be late fall. We're kind of up on winter. We know a lot of people are going to start packing their things up for the season and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of people are probably like, well, what should I do now that I'm not really fishing so much if you're not too busy with other things? Well, the great answer to that question would be to clean your gear.
And I was, when Susie brought up this topic, I was like, holy cow, we definitely need to talk about this because I'm terrible at that. I probably still have stuff in my kayak from last season that I just never took out. But I did wash my kayak out once this year. And so I think I did take pretty much everything off of it at least once this year. But it definitely, I like we were talking before we started recording, I am one of the worst for... when I get home, I pretty much unload my kayak onto the cart that I have now, and I don't even touch it for until I go fishing again, and it's it's horrible. Like perfect example, my Hobie Drive was squeaking like crazy, and I kept saying I bought the Hobie lube stuff that you spray on it. I had done that once before earlier this summer, and it worked great. And I kept saying to myself, when I get home, I need to spray this. I need to spray this. And I don't know, it was probably three or four trips where I squeaked my way through the whole trip.
Oh, like, that's probably the worst, too.
Scaring every fish, you know, with an earshot, you know. And so finally, I think Wednesday night when I got off the water, it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I was like, I am not unloading a thing until I spray that drive. I'm not squeaking my way through another fishing trip. It was, right. And it was crazy how much of a difference it makes, because just a little bit of that stuff and now it's like super quiet again. So
nice. Oh yeah, that's always like the worst too, because you're just like, it's the most annoying and frustrating thing you have to deal with. You get home and like, I don't know what it is. It's like the going through a dorm frame mentality. Like you have something in your head. As soon as you go through a door, like it just, it's gone. Gone.
You're like, part of mine is just trying to keep the wife happy, you know, and I fish longer than I should have, so I like I get home like, hey, I'm here, I'm ready to do whatever we need to do. And
right, you're a good husband.
Well, I fish a lot though, but you know,
you're right. It's a little bit of the opposite for me, because it's like I get home and the husband's like, are you gonna make dinner now? I'm like, it's like 8 o'clock at night, why didn't you make yourself something, you know? So. Oh shoot. But yeah, so I figure you know, so we're gonna start off with you know, cleaning your gear, maintaining things, checking things out, talking about, you know, how to look over your kayak, even like basic maintenance on the kayak, looking over your PFD, your rain gear, your cold weather gear, your cold water boots, you know, all that different stuff. Because, I mean, essentially, this is all important things. And you're going to want to make sure that it's going to last the longest. So I figure we'll just jump right into the biggest and most important part of your gear is your kayak.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, depending on which one you have, you know, most of them come with like a basic user guide, and whatnot. And some of them even have how-to videos and whatnot on either their product website or even on YouTube, that type of thing. Sean and I are both Hobie owners. So Hobie has some awesome videos on their website and YouTube on how to, you know, clean and maintain your pedal drives and whatnot. But like, there's a lot more to that than just, you know, spraying some grease on it and that type of thing. So, you know, if you know that you're putting your kayak up for the rest of the season, or, you know, the first snow has fallen and, you know, lakes are freezing over, that's the perfect time to start going through all your stuff and taking account of everything too. So when it comes to your kayak, you know, some of the biggest things, especially for an area where I am, is, you know, checking your hole to make sure that you don't have any super deep gouges that could be potentially able to penetrate the hole and cause for leakage in there. I have a couple of times nearly like beached myself on top of stumps before because, you know, the murky water and everything, you can't always see. And then, you know, when you're going to land, sometimes you have like a rocky shore that you're going into, the concrete ramps, you know, they do put a lot of the plastic in the nose and the back ends of the kayaks, but those are definitely some of those key areas that you want to double check to make sure that, A, you know, you're not like on a ticking time bomb, like the next thing you, you know, land up on the concrete boat launch there, that you're not going to put a big old hole in the front of your kayak there. So tips and tricks on how to keep those from wear and tear is, I know there's, I think there's metal ones on the market now. I haven't looked in quite a while, but they're basically like a skid guard type of thing in a sense. I think they make metal ones now that you basically sort of like glue on to the nose of your kayak. That way when you do beach, it's just, it's hitting on that metal and not the actual kayak. So, you know, if yours is more prone to wear and tear in that area, you could definitely look into something like that. I used Gorilla tape on mine for quite a while. But again, with all things, you know, that kind of wears and tears down as well. And also getting yourself some little plastic welds as well to kind of get, you know, some of those deeper cracks and whatnot filled in.
Have you done that before? I've never done that. I'm wondering how much of a chore it is.
So I used to think it was going to be like a really big chore until like I realized how easy it can actually be. And the only thing you need is if you can get some, so like in Hobie's, when you get it, and you're like looking in the hole and whatnot, sometimes you'll see like the leftover shavings from where they drilled in and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I will keep those because you want to use the original plastic that's part of your kayak. If you don't, you know, it's not the end of the world or anything. They come with like, you can buy like clear polyurethane sticks and whatnot. And then all you need is just a little hand torch. So like I got one off of Amazon, I think for $15. You fill it with like the butane stuff, you know, same thing in like a cigarette lighter. And what you do is you just kind of take your torch and you just kind of go over the kayak. Not too crazy. I mean, it takes a few times to kind of know like when it's getting hot and when it's like, oh yeah, no, I can't. This is getting too much. And then you just flame the end of your rod stick. And then you just kind of like, in a sense, you're welding that plastic into those areas.
Interesting.
I haven't necessarily used it for like deeper gouges, but what I've done is I've drilled in lights on the side of my kayak. And so what I did is I took some of the little plastic shavings left over that I had, and I would kind of melt them all together. And then I would take my torch and would kind of flame it around so that it would create a watertight seal around the screw hole that I had just drilled in. And that usually works a lot better than trying to use like silicone and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know a lot of people out there like to, you know, do a lot of DIY when it comes to like lights, rigging everything up and whatnot. And I've used, you know, silicone and whatnot to fill in the holes and whatnot. But like after a year, sometimes even less than that, like that silicone is like coming right off. And so now when I like use the plastic weld, like it ain't going nowhere. Like that stuff is staying on there. So and you can get the plastic welds off of Amazon as well, I believe is where I got mine. I think it came as like a really big pack or something like that. So I'm sure you can search the internet for a lot of different things as well and whatnot. And then, you know, also depending on the layout of your kayak as well, you know, if you have a pedal drive or not, most of them, if they do have a rudder system, you'll also want to be checking your cables and everything as well. You know, you want to make sure that none of your cables are starting to fray, nothing's too loose, you don't have any bolts missing that are holding them in there, those types of things. If you're not certain how something should be, you know, reach out to your dealer if you bought your kayak through like either a local dealer. And even if, you know, they're not close, you know, most of the time you reach out to somebody, be like, yeah, I've got like this Jackson kayak and my rudder's all weird. Can you help me out here? You know, most of the time everybody's going to help you out and whatnot. Keeping all of your lines and everything, you know, well-maintained, tight, but not too tight, is definitely going to help your gear last a lot longer out there as well. And if something is, you know, starting to crack, come apart or anything like that, you're going to catch it at that point then, you know, because I don't know about you, but, you know, you go out the first time of the year and it's just like, oh my gosh, everything is like falling apart. It's going wrong. You know, it's just like, well, should have spent the time in the winter to look over everything and whatnot. So, you know, do yourself the favor, save yourself the heartache and the headache. You know, do a real good look over your kayak as well.
I know I did this year. I added a Burley Pro bumper,
yes,
bumper to the front of my kayak just to kind of help, because on the Susquehanna there's rocks everywhere. So I bumped that a lot. So I'm still, you know, not 100% sure that, I mean, I'm not going to just crack that thing, but it definitely seems pretty solid. And it, I mean, when I beach, you know, when I come up to the ramp, I do drag my kayak more than probably a lot of people do. After I saw that, I don't know if it was Fluke Master or if it was Chad Hoover, but one of them drug a bona fide kayak behind his truck for like 15 miles or something just to prove how thick they really are. And like,
oh, you know what? That does sound familiar. I can't remember who did that.
After dragging it for that far, it still didn't drag through. So I'm like, me just dragging it up and down the ramp isn't going to put a hole in it for the most part. Now I did, on both my Jackson and my Hobie, like the, on the keel, I guess at the back, it has that kind of keel guard that it's meant to drag on. And on both the Jackson and the Hobie, I kind of wore that down. Now that part's replaceable. I did replace it on my Jackson before I sold it, just so it looked a little nicer.
Sure.
Cause it was worn down pretty good. And I noticed, on my Hobie that it's the same way. So, I might have to replace that too, but it's meant to be replaceable. So definitely check that out if you have one. Actually on my Jackson, on my Coosa, I wore it down enough that one of the screws actually came out. So it only had one screw. Yeah. I drug it a lot, you know, but the new keel, the one that, when I got the new part, it came with two screws. So, nice. It was pretty much good as new as soon as I replaced it. So, I thought about doing that for the Hobie too. I know, there's a few things. I ripped off one of my, rod holder covers, you know, on the Hobie.
Yes. Those things. Yeah. Like I think those things are more annoying than anything. Like in my boat, I unscrew them and take them off because I just find them more of an inconvenience than anything.
I was really surprised. I think I somehow got line wrapped around it and I just pulled it and it cut right through it. I was like, wow, that sliced it like hot butter, man. It's crazy. But yeah, they do kind of get in the way. I just never bothered to take them off, but I don't use those rod holders as much. Use the one that got ripped off now a lot. So like after I land the fish, that's where I put it just to get the hook out and stuff. But that's where I put the rod. But
Yep. Good deal. So yeah. And then, you know, cleaning the kayak itself, you know, you can use just about anything I like to tell people, but I highly recommend staying away from like your chemical cleaners. So like 409, anything with bleach, and other things like that, just stay away, because that stuff can like literally break down that polyurethane, and then it can also discolor your kayak as well if you're not careful. So what I usually recommend if people ask me how I clean my kayak is just a car wash soap and water. You know, I'll just go get a big bottle, because I have a power washer, and it's got like a little reservoir thing that I can just, you know, dump that stuff in. And then that's how I usually end up cleaning it too. There are a bunch of different, what do they call it? I think it's called Aerospace 309 or something like that. So like, yeah, it's supposed to help rejuvenate like anything that has like that polyurethane in it. And that stuff actually works really good. Cause like if you're out in the sun, especially in the southern states, and if you have like a red kayak and it's like super faded, you spray this stuff on there and clean it off, it'll rejuvenate it and it'll look like it's almost new.
I was going to ask if you'd use that, cause I had a couple people ask me and I'm like, oh no, I never tried it. But, I know quite a few people, like you said, especially in the South and the West where the sun really bakes on you, that they recommend that you use that for sure.
Yes, so it works pretty good. Because, I mean, my orange kayak, I had that thing for quite a while. And, you know, it was actually surprising at how fast, like, the sun can fade. Those types of things, you know, and I wish I would have done like the before and after pictures at the time, but like before, it was, you could definitely kind of tell that it was a little faded, but not like super crazy faded, but like as soon as I used that stuff, it looked brand new. I was like, holy crap, I wish I would have known about this stuff earlier. I would have done this like seasonally, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then there's a couple of different other basic cleaners and whatnot that you can use as well. Some people like to use Simple Green, whatnot, which is a very eco-friendly material as well. Magic Eraser for some of those, you know, kind of really stuck on stains and whatnot, because the deck of my kayak can get real gnarly. And even after using the power washer, like there's some stuff that is still there that needs a good extra soaking. So don't be afraid to, you know, use some little elbow grease with that as well. But again, you know, stay away from like the chemical stuff, unless it's specifically for, you know, the polyurethane material that your kayak is.
I noticed, I mean, my kayak is the I guess it's Dune. I forget what, if that's the color. It's the white looking one.
Yep.
Or tan or sand color.
Yeah.
And it, on the deck, especially, like you said, where my feet sit and, you know, there is some like deck padding there, but where there's not deck padding, it gets pretty brown from just constantly, well, either, you know, wet wading and hopping back in, or just, you know, just being overall in dirty water and stuff, it tends to start to look a little nasty.
Oh yeah. But yeah, then once you've got your kayak clean, then you're pretty good for the rest of the, you know, year, until you're ready to go out next year. You'll thank yourself for like, oh hey, yeah, my kayak's nice and clean. You know, there was one year where my last trip was a salmon trip. And you know, it got a little messy, and there was still some blood on the deck of my kayak, and I had meant to clean it, but just it got cold and cold fast, and it sat in the garage all winter long with those blood stains on it. But you know, again, just using some of that car wash stuff and whatnot, and then just like a soft bristle, you could use like a stiffer bristle brush too, because I mean the plastic stuff can take that, you know, just scrubbed it real good and it came right off. I was kind of pleasantly surprised by that. I thought it was gonna stain, but
yeah, I was gonna say, you'd think blood would, if anything would, blood would, but
yeah, I think I got lucky. So yeah,
I'm always super paranoid that when I have a fish that bleeds a lot, I'm like splashing water over the side, trying to wash it all down. So
yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah, the polyurethane plastic, it holds up pretty good. It's kind of hard to stain it unless, you know, again, you're using some pretty harsh stuff on it. But even with, I had spilled some of the, like the Dip-It stuff, mm-hmm. like the orange in the blue kayak before. And like, I freaked out. I was like, oh God, my kayak's going to be like, I'm going to have like this weird orange spot in there or whatnot. And I think I just took like some like Dawn dish soap or something like that. And I kind of squirted it all over there and scrubbed it in real good and let it sit. And luckily it came right off. So
I was going to say, that's usually what I use for my kayak. I just use dish soap, mm-hmm. but yeah. The whatever you use on your car is probably going to be okay. Cause that's made to protect a clear coat. So it's going to mm-hmm. work the same way on your polyurethane. So,
Yep. And then, moving on. So, yeah, after your kayak's all clean, then you get the lovely joy of everything else, which is the most tedious part of everything. But the next thing that you should definitely look at, clean real good, give it a good soaking, and give it a good inspection is your PFD. You know, whether it's, you know, just the foam one or the inflatable one, you want to make sure that, you know, all your straps are in good condition, nothing's fraying or anything like that. And then, you know, sometimes if I know that cartridge has been in there for like 2-3 years, I'll test it, you know, be like, all right, well, let's pull it and see if it actually works, you know, and I haven't had one fail on me yet. Knock on wood. and then some of them have like a little bobbin in there. So like if they're the automatically inflating ones, they have like this little thing in there. And I think they're only good for, I think, every 3 years. But you have to check on the actual bobbin and whatnot, because they'll usually have like an expiration date on there. So you got to make sure that, you know, that A, that's good to go, or if it's, you know, expired, to get a new one. They're pretty cheap. I think they're $10, if that, or something like that. And one thing that I was really bad at that I wish I would have done sooner with my second PFD was to clean the actual like material. So like I have like the auto inflatable one, and I would like inspect it every year and check the Velcro and whatnot and all that other stuff. But I didn't do my due diligence and take care of like the actual like material, whatever it's made with. Mm-hmm. And there's parts of it that are like really faded and kind of rough looking. And it's still functional by all means. It just doesn't look quite as good anymore. There's actually a pretty good cleaner out there on the market today. And I'm trying to remember what it's called. I think it's like Tech Wash is what it's called. And we'll have links to all of the different things that we have that we're talking about on here and whatnot, because it can also be used on like wetsuits, dry suits, that type of thing. I want to say it was like, yeah, like a wet wash. Yeah, I'd have to look it up, because there's a lot of different things on the market nowadays. But there was one that I particularly liked, because all you had to do was depending on, you know, if you have a big enough bucket, or like in my case, like I had several things. So like I would just, you know, fill a bathtub up a little bit with water, and then I'd pour the solution in there. And then I'd take like rain gear, my PFD, my rain boots, or my NRS boots and whatnot. And you just kind of, you know, slosh them in there, get them all nice and wet and soaked and everything. And I think you let them soak for like a half hour or something like that. Give them good rinse off, and then let them air dry, and like they'll look and smell really nice.
Those boots can get pretty crazy. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. If you don't want, you know, your boots continuing to smell like foot, this is pretty good stuff. And I mean, like you can use it, you know, like an everyday basis too. You know, like if you're, you know, a cleaning Nazi in a sense, you know, you could just come home, dunk them in the water, put the stuff in there, let them soak for a while, take them out, let them air dryer, and you won't have bad smelling boots at all. So
yeah, no, I use a boot dryer, and that does wonders, because if you can get them dry quickly, the smell comes from bacteria when it dries too slow. So if you can dry them quickly, which a boot dryer dries them like slowly so that they don't shrink or anything, but it also dries them quicker than just air drying. So that tends to not let the bacteria grow. So that's definitely a tip for stinky boots. Try and if you get a boot dryer, and you can buy them on Amazon. I bought my boot dryer on Amazon. We use it for my daughter's soccer cleats too, because they were getting like, well, I'm like, you're not bringing those in the house, you know?
Right?
You're like, people no, have to live here.
In the garage. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but after we got the boot dryer and we use that on the soccer cleats too, it works. It works great because it, like I said, it doesn't allow the stinky bacteria to grow, so it keeps them smelling good. So, just a tip out there for if you have stinky shoes or boots, definitely check out a boot dryer.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same thing when it comes to, you know, your PFDs and your rain gear and everything. You know, the reason why things will start to stink is because they've got that moist, dark, warm environment that's just perfect for bacteria, you know. And whether or not, you know, you really try hard to take care good of your stuff and whatnot, you know, you'll still like go to get your rain jacket the next day and you're like, oh, God, what is that? I've had that happen before, and I'm just like, Jesus, I even hung this thing up to dry, but it still stinks. Right.
I try not to leave things in my truck for that reason. There'd be, if I know I'm fishing both like 2 days in a row, I still take everything out of my truck, just because when it sits in your truck, then that smell, you don't smell festers. It for the quick drive home. But yeah, if you let it in there overnight, man, it's not good. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's, I found one, from REI. It's called like a tech wash. And I think it's like $10 or something like that. I'm sure you can find it on Amazon as well. But yeah, you basically, some of these things you can actually add to your washing machine as well, too, if the clothing and items that you're using are machine washable. So you'll definitely want to, you know, look at the labels of all of your gear as well to make sure that you do clean it properly as well, because some things you don't want going through the washing machine because it might just ruin them as well.
Right.
And whatnot. Let's see here. Moving on. So after you get all your gear done, all your kayak, then you've got the fun joy of going through all of your rods, your reels, your tackle, and all that other stuff. I remember when I first got into just fishing in general, you know, I didn't have a clue about anything, you know. You know, I would leave stuff in tackle boxes. I never took anything out or anything like that. And when it came to the next season, I'd go to get something out of a tackle box, and the whole box, everything would be rusted. And I'd be mm-hmm. like, what happened? How did this happen? And even if your box might be dry, rust can still get in there. So usually, at least for me, you know, my process, I usually will take all of my reels off of my rods, and I'll kind of start with all that. And then I'll go through all of my, tackle boxes. So like everything that holds, like, you know, my crankbaits, my spinnerbaits, like all of them. 'Cause like, you get the littlest bit of rust in one of those and it can ruin that entire box. So it's really important to make sure that you're checking through all this stuff to make sure that A, you're not having rust creep up on you and ruining a whole box of everything. And B, in the process, while you're checking through everything, you're checking to make sure that A, all your hooks are in good condition. All of the bills on like your crankbaits and stuff like that are in good condition, and just, you know, overall in general, taking a little bit of an inventory as well. 'Cause you know, you're like, man, you know, this worked really good for me. Now, where is that? And you're like, oh man, I don't know where all my stuff is right now.
For me, it's probably in my cup holder.
Yep. Sean and I were talking about this earlier too, before we started recording, is, you know, everybody has that quote unquote, like that dumping station for, you know, the lures and stuff that they use throughout the day, throughout the season, or, you know, whatever have you. So like, as you're changing baits from the lines or whatever, you just kind of chuck it into one little container. Mine's the H-rail bin. And there's been a couple of times where, like, I'll get home and it may or may not have been a rainy day or whatnot. But there's been times where it's been like, you know, 2 weeks before I open it back up. And then I kick myself and I'm like, God dang it. I forgot I had a jackhammer in there and now there's rust in there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, yeah. The Outback has two cup holders. I think both of those are full. And then at one of the paddle and fin meetups, Brian had a Yak Attack cup holder that I added. So I have three cup holders and all of them are full of stuff. So,
right.
And I think in the bottom of one of my, the built-in ones on my Hobie, I had soft plastics in there and I made the mistake of throwing a Z-Man in there. So
oh,
then I,
no.
Talking about having to scrub something, I had to like kind of take a chisel or something and kind of scrape it out of there because it was all melted into the bottom of the cup holder. So
if any of you guys listening or watching have never had a Z-Man bait melt on you, whether it be like in the package, in with other baits and stuff like that, it's bad.
And it happens quick too. I mean, yeah. I want to say it wasn't in there for more than a couple of days and it was just a puddle of plastic.
Yeah. And like sometimes it's not even like the air temperature that'll melt it. Like sometimes it's the other plastics that yep. it's touching mm-hmm. that'll just make it turn into like a goo, or it'll just like melt to the other plastic or whatnot. Cause like I did that one time. I think I had a couple of TRDs. And with like a couple of Cincos, and like I go to pull it out and I was like, oh my God, it was just like this blob of just grossness.
Yeah. Well, I noticed even just letting them sit on the, like the Hobie has like trays too, kind of, and I've let them just sit there and sometimes they're not even touching other plastic, but if they sit there long enough, they almost melt to the,
yes.
the kayak itself. And then you're like, pulling it off and it's slimy and nasty.
Oh yeah. They're pretty durable, but man, when it comes to melting, it's ugh. Yeah, it's gross. But yeah, when it comes to, you know, cleaning all your gear and everything or whatnot, you know, you kind of want to follow the same principles. You know, you don't want to use those harsh chemicals. Because again, you know, that stuff can absorb into plastic. So plastic such as like your tackle boxes, any of your containers, your gear and stuff like that. You know, you always want to make sure that you're using either like eco-friendly stuff or just basic soap and water is pretty good for just about everything. Again, I'm kind of in a favor of like Simple Green. It does a pretty good job of like getting anything and everything. And then tip or trick that somebody had told me about is if you have like the cork or like a colored rod butt or something like that, that really tends to get dirty and like no amount of like scrubbing seems to work. A magic eraser usually works pretty good. Again, it does take a little bit of time to clean it, but I found that those have worked pretty good for me in the years past when it comes to cleaning my rods and stuff. And then while you're cleaning your rods, you might also discover that you have some rod-eyed guides that literally will fall off when you touch them. I had that happen on two rods that I was cleaning. I was like, oh, it's a good thing I had that happen now so I can fix them now. And then I've got one that it's not like necessarily broke, but there's like this middle like guide support part of it that's like snapped. I don't know how it snapped or whatever, because I'm like, this doesn't make sense in my head, but somehow it did. So I got to figure out what, you know, what the best way is to fix that. But, you know, it's always definitely good to see if you have any rod eye guys that are about ready to pop off. And then checking to make sure that like your top rod eye guide isn't missing like that inner like protective ring or whatnot.
Yep.
I actually didn't know that that was a thing until like, I think my second year into kayak fishing. I had this, I don't even remember what rod it was, but like I would cast out, you know, and after about 6-7 casts, I noticed my line was getting really frayed. And I was just like, well, I'm not near rocks or anything like that. And I couldn't figure it out. And then somebody had asked me, they're like, well, have you checked all your rod eyes? And I'm like, well, yeah, I think so. They're like, well, did you check to make sure that they had like that little inner like protective ring? And I'm like, inner protective ring? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. They're like, look at them and then see if one of them's different. And sure enough, that top, the tip was missing that inner protective ring. I was like, huh, well, I'll be darned. I didn't even know that was a thing. You know,
I've had them come out, even middle ones. Like I think I somehow crunched one of the middle eyelets enough to pop it out. Mm-hmm. And same thing. I noticed my line getting frayed, and I've even had one where just somehow it got cracked. And it, so the ring was still there, but there was a crack in it, and just the line running over that crack would fray it too. So it is a good idea to inspect those rings, because especially if you're noticing your line is fraying or you're breaking off a lot, you know, that is oftentimes one of the culprits for that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, always good to inspect everything and make sure that, you know, your rod seats are still in good working condition and everything too. There was something else I was going to say with that, but then now I completely forgot. But yeah, moving along, cleaning your reels. Now, I know that this is a very intimidating thing to people, especially when it comes to like your bait caster reels, because I'd say, yeah, like 98% of your reels, when they come in the box, they also come with like the part schematics. And if you've ever seen one of those, you're just like, dear God, there's like hundreds of parts to these things. Yeah, there is. And at the end of the season, you should, you know how to properly care for your reel. Cleaning it, you know, adding some more lubricant to it or adding more oil to it, that type of thing. But knowing how to properly take your reel apart as well. I remember the first time I took one apart because I was like, man, there is something weird going on with this reel, because I wanted to try to fix it. And, you know, I didn't know any better. Took the one plate off of it and those two springs that keep in there were just, choom! I was like, huh, I'm sure those were important. but lucky enough, you know, I just went to the reel manufacturer website and looked up parts and whatnot. And majority of what is in there, you can find online and whatnot and everything. So, and a lot of times, you know, if you're not comfortable with, you know, cleaning, maintaining your reel, whatnot, ask one of your buddies, you know, because chances are somebody's going to know how to do it. They could probably teach you how to do it as well.
We did have Debo from Debo Fishing on. It was sometime last year, I want to say. And we did an episode on reel cleaning.
Oh, nice.
Where we kind of did a general baitcaster disassemble and reassemble, and also a general spinning rod.
Ooh, nice.
So if you're interested, go. I know Debo has tons of videos on his site too. So it's just Debo. If you Google YouTube for that, he has some good content on reel maintenance. So
awesome.
And I wanted to give a quick shout out to Cadence Fishing. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. They're a reel company. They give some of their proceeds back to youth fishing organizations. So I bought a few reels from them. And earlier this year, when I lost my bait casting rod or my crankbait rod, I replaced the rod and reel. And the reel that I bought was a Cadence reel. And probably the second or third time I used it, I don't know if I bumped the side plate latch or whatever, but I was out in the river, casted, and the side plate, pew, and like the reel came out, like the spool came out, and it was just gone. So like I still had the spool, but the whole side plate was gone. And so I emailed the company, and they said, I said, I need these parts. And they initially said, well, we don't have them in stock right now. We're going to be coming out with a replacement reel. So we'll let you know when that's available. And they, so they probably like 2 months ago, they emailed me back and said, hey, the replacement reel is out. Here's the parts on Amazon. So I went, ordered the part, but the part was only the side plate cover. And so I emailed them back. I'm like, this isn't right. And they're like, you know what? We'll just email you or send you a new reel. So they totally sent me a new reel. I actually got it 2 weeks ago. And, you know, we were talking about my drive squeaking, right? Well, this reel also came from the factory. And like when I'd cast, it would like make this screeching banshee noise. Like people like fishing are looking like, what is that noise? I called my wife one time while I was fishing and she's like, what is that screaming noise? I was like, oh, that's this reel, you know? And so actually on Friday, when I got off work, I went to Dick's and bought a little pen combo, pen fishing, oil and grease combo.
Yes.
And I went on Cadence's website and they actually had videos for how to properly lube it. So, and it was super easy and it's now quiet as a, you know, like the way it should be. So definitely worthwhile checking it out. I imagine most rod manufacturers or reel manufacturers will have a video or at least instructions for, you know, how to properly do that. Because they did point out which parts should be oiled and which parts should be greased, because there is a difference. So
yes,
you definitely want to keep that in mind. Yes. So
yes, there is. Yep. And, you know, while you're cleaning your reels as well, you know, it's also a good time to, you know, check the line in it. You know, if you've been using mono or fluoro, that line does have a short lifespan compared to braid. A braid you could probably keep on your reel for like 3 years and it's still going to be solid, depending upon, you know, the conditions of how you fish and all that other stuff. But yeah, when it comes to fluoro and mono, like you don't want that stuff staying on your reel for a long period of time because it's just, it's going to start becoming brittle and frail and you'll start breaking off and everything. And that's just not something you want to have happen when you got a 10 pounder on the other line. but yes, all definitely good tips and tricks and whatnot. And yeah, you know, you can go to Bass Pro, Amazon, you know, Tackle Warehouse, you know, there isn't any specific brand of like reel and grease that you like have to have, but like any basic kit that you can get from any of the big box stores, you know, like Bass Pro, Cabela's, that type of thing. Those are generally all you need. Other like tips and tricks that I like to give to people as well is Q-tips are your friend. And then the canned air, that you use to like like your keyboard if it's like really dusty or whatever, that actually comes in pretty good handy as well for me, because like sometimes there's just like gook like stuck in corners or whatever. I just take that canned air and just, and it gets it all right out of there nice and neat for me. Oh, let's see here. Looking through other things, another thing that I'm a big culprit of is a lot of times when either it's, you know, just at the end of a fishing day, fishing trip, season, there's been a lot of times where I'll throw a lot of my plastics in the same bags and just like not even deal with them. And then, you know, come next season, I'm just like, God, why do all these worms have like split heads and stuff like that that you can't even rehook? I was like, what was I doing? Why didn't I go through any of that type of thing? You know, it's always a good thing to, you know, take inventory, take stock, especially this time of year, because there's a lot of places that will have, you know, holiday deals, Black Friday deals, seasonal type things or whatnot. I'll keep an eye out, you know, a Bass Pro's website. Tackle Warehouse has the 12 days of Christmas savings where each day is like something different. And they have some actually pretty good deals. I mean, they have a deal of like discounted fishing line, like especially like Seaguar and stuff like that. That's usually the best time to stock up is when everybody's having their holiday sales. So what better time to look through your gear as well to see, you know, what you're low on, what you need to replenish, what you need to replace, those types of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and I think I was just going to say that Black Friday, especially, like almost every company does at least some kind of deal, and you can get line, like you said, Seaguar. I think last year I bought a like big spool of Seaguar 10 pound Invis-X, and it was like more than half price off. It was like crazy. So, and that's what I use for my leader material. So, I freaking have leader now forever. Well, not forever because it doesn't last forever, but it will last me a while. So,
yeah, definitely check up on that stuff. And, you know, I gotta give a little bit of a shout out to like the Plano Edge boxes because, you know, the stuff that they've been coming out with the last couple of years for organization, tackle management, that type of stuff. But what really kind of has really helped me in a sense is they have the built-in like rust inhibitor stuff in there, which has been really nice because I'm like, man, like I got water in this box. I know like it should have been like, but like it wasn't. And I think it was because of those rust inhibitors. And then another tip, a little trick I like to tell people too, is whenever you like get something in the mail or whatever, and it comes with like the silica gel packets, don't throw those away. Throw those in your tackle boxes because those will absorb moisture and they will help keep water out of all of your tackle boxes stuff. So keep those things. Don't throw them away.
Tip. That is a very good tip because yeah, those things come in everything. And
yes. Yep. See here. I'm trying to see.
I know we talked about line management and, and one of the things that I mentioned last year on the Christmas episode about things that I found that really worked well. This is called the Cast King Line Boss. And it's this cool little stretchy bungee cord and it has a little hole. I don't know if you can see that there, a little eyelet that you can run your line through. So not only does it keep your line from just unspooling, you know, I know they come with the little stickers sometimes, or they have a little notch where you can put the line in and it's supposed to keep it from unspooling. But I don't know how many times, you know, I just go into the little bin in my kayak that I keep my line in and go to pull out line and it'd just be unspooled everywhere. These work great for that, and they're cheap. I think you can buy like a 5-pack on, if you just, we'll put a link in the show notes, but it comes in a 5-pack, and not only does it work good for that, but it also works good for when you're spooling your line because you can use this to kind of tension, add the right amount of tension because there's a little plastic slider right here that you can set the tension for how tight it is on the reel. So then when you're spooling your line, you can have it at that just right tension so that you don't, you know, rather than trying to pinch it between your thumbs and everything, you can just, or your feet, you know, I've tried to use my feet before. You can use that kind of band to set the tension and really kind of dial it in pretty well. So definitely a cheap and very useful tool that I've found. So
Very nice. Yeah, you were talking about that with me before the show started, and I was just like, God, I wish I had some of that, because, like, I don't know how many, I've got, like, a box that's just for line, and I go to pull a spool out of there, and, like, line is just, like, poof, just, like, almost exploding on me, because either the tape that I put on there to hold it in place came off, or the little line keeper thing that's built in some of the spools, it just popped off out of there, and I'm just like, ah!
Yeah, so definitely has been a good investment and a cheap investment. So,
Yep, definitely. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, too, you know, like some of this stuff, you're just like, oh God, I have like 20 reels and 20 rods. It's going to take forever to clean all this. It's okay. You've got all winter to do it.
Right.
you know, but take the time to take care of it, because, you know, that is just going to help keep your gear lasting longer, running good, in good condition. And it's going to pay off, you know, taking care of your stuff at the end of the day as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing that I usually like to tell people too is, if they have one, also check and replenish your first aid kit if you use one as well. You know, a lot of basic stuff in there, band-aids and stuff like that, doesn't usually need replaced out. But like if you have a more hefty one that has some like Benadryl, aspirin, that type of things, those things usually have a shelf life of about a year or so, you know, so it's a good time to switch all that out and all that fun stuff.
Well, that covers a lot of things, I think. You know, definitely we'll give you some things to keep you busy during those months. And I still do, you know, as long as the water is not frozen, I take my dry suit and I go out and I try to fish all year long. I had a goal last year to catch a fish every month, and I think I caught my first fish this year in March. So I think December, January, and February I didn't catch a fish last year. Not for lack of trying, just you know, I'm still working on that, learning to fish in the really cold months. You know, but I still would like to do that this year. But even with that, there's still going to be plenty of time for me to kind of go through things, because I definitely don't fish as much when it's that cold.
Right.
So
you're a brave soul for going out there and bearing with that. I mean to each their own, you know, and more power to you, man. Like that's awesome that you get out there and do that. You know, me, I hate the cold and I don't have a dry suit or anything. So, you know, it's not exactly the safest or wisest option to go out there this time of year. But I do have a buddy who has a boat who said, you know, hey, yeah, like you let me know, I'll take you out to, you know, the lake or something like that, and we'll just see what we can get. So,
yeah. Yep. I mean, that's pretty much I'd like to get a new dry suit. The dry suit I have was like a cheaper option. And I like the neck on that thing drives me nuts. Like I feel like I can feel my pulse the whole time. like it's choking me out. I read tips online about taking like a bin or like a ice cream tub or a plastic ice
like a coffee tub, can or something like that,
putting
yeah.
it in there. Well, then I ended up ripping the seam, so I had to send it the dry suit back and get it repaired. So I don't necessarily recommend that option unless you're very careful with it. But I know I was looking at some of the other NRS dry suits that are out there, and they call them semi suits or dry suits because the neck isn't quite
as restricting.
Yeah, but it also seems like it's a heck of a lot more comfortable. So I don't know. That's on one on my wish list for the holidays. So to make it a little more bearable, because there's definitely been times where it's just not been comfortable. I started actually wearing Under Armour mock turtleneck underneath it to allow me to turn my head. Cause even with the neoprene just right against your skin, I felt like I couldn't even turn my head. Like it would just want to go with me, you know? So
right.
Definitely not the most comfortable thing, but after I started wearing that mock turtleneck underneath it, it helped a little bit. So
mm-hmm. I'm sure there's gotta be something out there or a better way or something like that, you know. And if you guys are listening right now and you're like, oh yeah, you should do this, send us a message, let us know so we can help share this information too, you know.
Comment on the posts.
Yeah, tips, tricks, or anything that you know as far as like, you know, cleaning your gear, organizing your gear,
or even little things like this that you know, you've found that really work well for you. So
exactly, just, you know, that just helps everybody, you know, out in so many different ways. You know, there's people who are still coming on here who are brand new to the scene. You know, Shauna and I have been in the kite fishing scene for quite a while, so a lot of things that we're just like, yeah, you know, that's just a thing, you know, we forget sometimes that, like, oh yeah, there's people who are brand new who literally don't know about this. So sometimes it's, you know, always good reminders to have people chime in and be like, oh yeah, let them know about this type of thing.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Alrighty. Well, I think that that covers a ton of stuff. Should keep people busy in the off season, and you know, at least keep you good from stir crazy, and at least let you think about fishing a little bit while you're going through all that stuff, and kind of rehash the good times that, you know, oh, I remember when I caught this something on this bait, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know. Part of my winter projects is to go through a lot of my GoPro footage, because I have, oh my God, I have memory cards upon memory cards of stuff from the past couple of years that I haven't even touched as far as editing. I was like, oh, I got to get on that. I got to take care of that, because, like, I want to get better at that. So I'm just like, all right, this winter is definitely the time to do it once I get everything else taken care of and whatnot. But yeah, definitely a lot of projects to keep busy with. And yeah.
Cool. Well, do you want to take us out? You want to give a shot at the, since I think I've messed it up the last like, two or three times. So you can't do any worse than me.
I know, right? I think I could probably handle it. So thanks again for tuning in, guys. This has been another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs, where we give you the tips, tricks, and techniques to help you rip more lips. I think I said it backwards, but hey, you know, close enough, right?
Hey, you didn't stumble through it, so you...
All right, guys, we'll see you next time.
All right, guys, thanks. Whoop, I didn't play the outro. We'll get that right now.
And here we go.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.